In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To comfort ourselves when we die, we often will say things like, well, death is a natural part of life. But death is not natural. Which is to say, death is not what God intended. Death is an aberration away from God's perfect design and His holy purpose. That means that death itself is unholy. It is not part of God. It is not from Him. Now, of course, death is normal in this fallen, sinful world. And so on some level, shouldn't we all be used to it? But it is not natural. So it always catches us off guard, doesn't it? And as Christians, we should be prepared by our faith because we know about sin, we know about its consequences, and we also know the Savior. But do not buy the line that death is part of the circle of life, that death is normal, or rather that it's natural. Because death is the opposite of life. Death is the opposite of our Lord, for our Lord is life. He came into this world that you and I might have life and have it to the full. He says of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that means that our Lord Jesus, He is life itself. He is so full of life that though He took sin, the cause of death, on Himself, death could not hold Him. And so in the fullness of time, He rose, bringing life, immortal, eternal life to light for you and for me. And life shines forth from His grave. Not death, life. Because He is full of life. Because He is life. And so if you want life, you've got to be in Him. Now death is not natural. And to highlight this, God, in the Old Testament, He made laws about death and about corpses for His Old Testament people, the people of Israel. And so unless you were the immediate relatives of the deceased, you shouldn't touch their dead body, because if you touched a dead body, it would make you unholy. And anyone who touched a dead body even accidentally became unholy, and that meant you were not able to go into the temple, which meant you are not able to receive God's gracious gifts of forgiveness, because you are then cut off from God and His presence there in the temple until you would be purified by various ceremonies, and then you could once again go back into that temple. And this, then, is one of the reasons why, one of the reasons for those laws that God gave was that the nations that surrounded Israel in that day, they saw death as natural. They even saw death as a power that you and I could possibly tap into. And they believed that once someone was dead, that their spirit became free, that their spirit then ended up becoming more powerful than it was when it was trapped in their body. And so their spirit, the spirit of the deceased person, could impact the natural world in ways that it couldn't while they were still alive and still stuck in their body. And does any of that sound familiar at all? Do you hear some of those kinds of tones being talked about in our day and our age, some of those ideas? We hear in our society about people talking about death as though somehow it frees you. Certainly it does from pain. That is certainly true. But sometimes they talk about it freeing you simply from the limitations of a perfectly healthy body. And we hear people talk about not just being free, but many times they'll talk, especially people who don't know what God teaches about life and death, they'll comfort themselves by saying that things like, well, their soul is now sailing on the vast unknown. It is, their soul is carefree. Their soul is now better than before. Maybe we even hear, even in Christian circles, we'll hear things like, well, they've now become an angel or a being of light, that such dead ones now have a power, maybe not over nature, but a power over God, a power to influence Him, God, to influence God and to pray for you in a way that is somehow greater than we who are here below. You've heard all those kinds of ideas, But let me tell you, none of them are in the Bible and none of them come from the Bible, which means that none of them have God's authority. God has not spoken those ideas. God is not the source of those ideas. And so we have strange ideas that float around out there about death, that somehow death is better than life. And we have to watch ourselves carefully. For when we buy into such flights of fancy, we're drinking deeply from an unchristian well that will end up leading you away from Christ, who is the true life. And so repent of those kinds of ideas and turn to He who is life. Because Christ has come that we may have life and have it to the full. Your instincts about death, they are right. Because this world, with the sin and suffering of the world and everything that accompanies death, this world is wrong. But death is not the answer. It is not the Savior or the great relief from the suffering of sin that's in this world. Death is part of the problem of that sin and suffering. If Christ had not come right here into the midst of this valley of the shadow of death, then death would not be the end of suffering. It would only simply be the beginning. For true death is not the death of your physical body. True death is that eternal torment of being cut off utterly from the source of life. That's what we call hell. Whether there are flames in hell, which is one image that the Bible gives to describe hell, we don't really know that part. What we know is you are cut off from God. You are cut off from life in hell. And so hell, that final judgment for those who want nothing to do with the God of life, that is the ultimate death. Or in the book of Revelation, it refers to it as the second death. Death is not good. It is not God's will. He sent His Son into the world to reverse death, to defeat it, and to transform it. And so death's power by Jesus Christ, your Savior, death's power has been defeated. And for those who are baptized into Christ Jesus, death has been reversed. Because now, death is a portal to eternal life for those who are baptized, which means that since our Lord's conquering of death, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. For through their physical deaths, they will come to be with Him for eternity. But back to the Old Testament for a second. The world around Israel had ideas that death is powerful in and of itself, that it is a good thing. And therefore, they even had cults of death that had to do with touching the dead bodies of those who had just died, and even preserving the body so that you could access those bodies and touch them and somehow gain some of their power from those dead folks. And all of this is a teaching straight out of the pits of hell, a teaching that causes people to be fascinated with death, to think that death is a way to power, rather than recognizing death for what it is, the result of sin, the opposite of God's gift of life. And thus, His Old Testament laws were put in place in order to combat this and to teach rightly that God is not a God of death, that God, death does not come from Him, that God is a God of life. Death is not part of Him. It doesn't come from Him. It's His will and His intention is to reverse death and to defeat it and to give life to you. Well, along comes Jesus, our Savior, and He sees that widowed mother who has known so much death in her life. So He who is life, in compassion for her, He breaks Israel's laws, because those laws are not designed for Him. He goes up to that dead body. He touches the bier that it was on. Maybe He even touches the body. Not so that He may gain power from this dead one. Because He needs no power. He's not afraid of becoming impure by touching it. Or being unable to go into the temple. Because He Himself is the living God who lives in that temple. He goes up to that body so that He can reverse death, so that He can give life. And He gives that son back to his mother, and he gives that mother back her son in a foreshadowing of what will happen for you and me on the last day when Jesus gives us back our loved ones who have gone before us in him. And so in this event, we see an image of the church. Because the church, like that widow, grieves over sin and death, because it is not natural. It's a corruption of God's will and his intention. And the church longs for life for her daughters and her sons who live here under the shadow of death. And into that shadow, our Lord comes, bringing the light of life and dispersing death in its gloom with his word and his touch. And so, too, the church and her pastors proclaim the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, bringing us to repentance and giving us the forgiveness of sins and giving life to the sons of men. And so, we don't need any such flimsy comfort such as death is natural, because you and I, we have a greater and a better comfort. Death is conquered. Jesus lives. Precious in his sight is the death of his saints. And each time we gather here in the divine service, God visits his people and he raises you up to life by giving us the first resurrection and preparing us for the second resurrection. For in holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper, your Jesus touches you and he speaks to you, raising a dead one like you and me back to life again. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.